James chapter number 3, and as you take your Bible and turn to James, small book near the end of your Bible, chapter number 3 inside of your bulletin this morning is a companion handout for today's lesson as we continue in our series, Marriage Myths, exposing common misconceptions about marriage from the Word of God and striving to learn from the Word of God some principles that will help us in our marriages. Today we're going to look at the communication myth. And the communication myth says we just cannot communicate with one another. We can talk, we can, it was a nice day out today, or the kids had a good day in school, or we can kind of handle the surface stuff, Brother Rule, but really getting down deep and communicating as husband and wife, man, it's just a struggle. We don't do it very well. Well, let's find out why, and then let's fix it from the Word of God. Now, why do we believe that? Look in your introduction, then in your handout. We believe this not because we have tried and failed. We believe it primarily because we're not willing to do what is necessary, making the necessary adjustments to how we operate in order to communicate successfully. So it's not that we've just exhausted the efforts in trying to communicate, but maybe it's we've never learned how to communicate according to the Word of God as husband and wife. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. Now, we're going to come to James chapter 3 in just a moment, but look with me, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. So the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. When we're walking with God, when we're reading His Word, when we're in tune with His Spirit, we know what we should say. Now look at James chapter 3 in your Bible, beginning in verse number 2, and let's just be reminded of the power of what we say. The Bible says in verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on the fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind." Watch this in verse 8. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." Now, at the very least, that should make you and I cautious to speak. Knowing the power of our tongue and what we say and the effect that it can have on others, we need to be careful. And you know what? Sometimes in the work environment, we're guarded. In the church environment, we're guarded. When we're around strangers, we're guarded. But if we're not careful at home, we just let the guard down and we let it fly. And we say things to our spouse or to our children that we would never say to somebody in this room, that we would never utter to a coworker. But because of that familiarity that we breed, being in a family and enjoying the same dwelling together, if we're not careful, our conversation and our speech begins to get way out of bounds where it should not be. And when that happens, couples begin to pull back, and now We're two people dwelling in the same home, and we talk when we have to about what we have to talk about, but it's been an awful long time since we've communicated about anything. It's been a long time since we've gotten down below the surface and really talked. And God wants us to be close. God doesn't want anything between us as husband and wife. And God wants us to be able to communicate. And that's what we want to learn this morning from the Word of God. What are some hindrances to communication? I just want to give these to you very quickly by way of introduction before we jump into the outline. First of all, our schedules. Sometimes we just don't have time to talk. And I just want to tell you, as husband and wife, if you're in that boat right now where you just don't have time to talk, your two ships passing in the night, your schedules don't align, fix it. Because I don't know whatever it is you're devoting your time to, but here's what I do know. It's not as important as your marriage. So if you have no time to talk 7 days a week, then fix your schedule. Get a new job. Get a new hobby. Make an adjustment. I'd rather make less money and have a great marriage than make more money and have a terrible marriage. So, got to fix that schedule. This is all free. We're not even in the lesson. Schedules. Number next, children. Children can be a hindrance to communication. And all those with children. My wife and I are having some couples over tonight, and I was telling Brother Avery yesterday, we're having the couples over tonight from our class who have no children. And we just want to kind of, you know, fellowship with them. And for my wife and I, it's kind of like, man, remember those days? You know, it was just so nice, you know. And man, having kids sometimes, there's some challenges there. And you've got to work out those schedules and such. Children, television, media, those types of things. That can be a hindrance to communication. We're not communicating when we're doing that. I'm not saying there's not a place for it. But if there's a lot of that in your home, TV, movies, video games, and there's no communication, then you want to get rid of that. Or the fear of conflict. Boy, the fear of conflict can be a hindrance to communication. Brother Roy, we don't want to communicate because if we communicate, I know what's going to come up. And you know what's going to come up because it's never been fixed. It's never been thoroughly worked through. It's never been resolved. There's no remedy there. And it needs to be brought up and you need to learn to fix it. And we're going to study some of that in the lesson today and moving ahead. Dr. David Mason, you see this in your notes. Couples must have a mutually agreed upon system of talking with and listening to each other. Since all communication is learned, what is not helpful can be unlearned and new skills substituted for those that hinder the relationship. Listen, the Bible challenges you and I, husbands, and Peter, dwell with them according to knowledge. You and I may communicate with our wife and she may not like the way we communicate. Well, then we need to learn how to communicate. Honey, I'm sure sorry that happened. I wasn't intending you to feel that way about it. How could I have said that differently? Well, honey, if you think I look fat in that dress, just don't tell me it. Okay, honey, I got it. Thank you. I'll just say, man, honey, I think they put the wrong size on the sticker on that dress or something. You know, I don't know. And but you want to learn one from another the adjustments you might need to make, all right? I want to give you some statement of facts about communication as husband and wives. Number one, you can communicate with depth. You can communicate with depth. Now, there are some relationships maybe here that say, Brother Rule, it's been a long time since we've gotten below the surface and we've communicated. Guys, don't forget, this is one of her greatest needs. She needs to feel like there's a part of you that only she gets in comparison to everybody else on the planet. Something you share with her about the way you feel, transparently opening up. Guys, don't do that. We keep it close to the vest. How are you doing? Fine. How's your day? Good. How are things going? Wonderful. Those are acceptable answers for guys. We've summed up everything we need to say in those three words right there. We're done. We can talk again tomorrow. That's just the way we're wired. It's who we are. It works. That doesn't work for her. She wants to know how you felt and, you know, what colors were people wearing and how did it go and how did you feel and, you know, on and on and on, you know. And that's just the way she is. And so you've got to get deeper in your communication and you can. How? Well, you got to understand some things. First of all, letter A, deep communication is open and transparent. The Bible says in 1 John 4, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. You've got to get deep. Guys, we've got to work at getting deep in our communication. It may only be a language of communication we speak with our wife. We're not going to speak about this with the coworkers. We're not going to speak about this maybe with one another here at church or at the softball team or whatever the case may be. But with our wife, we need to be willing, to be open, to be transparent, to be deep in our conversation. John Powell in his book said there's five levels of conversation. You have cliche, you know, how was the weather today? You have fact, well, this is what I saw or whatever. You have opinion, well, this is what I think about it. Then you have emotional sharing, well, here's kind of what I felt about it. And then you have that transparency, the sharing of feelings and thoughts and dreams and needs. And there's got to be that in marriage. I love this thought by Dennis Rainey. You must be careful to avoid hurting your mate. But many marriages are in such need of sharing feelings that the risk must be taken. If you can't share feelings with your spouse, your marriage is on superficial ground. You will not grow, and neither will your partner. Listen to me. When you say, I do, husband and wife, and you become one of the greatest ingredients you have through the journey of marriage of becoming a better husband and a better spouse is communicating as husband and wife. Because they now know you as husband or wife. And they've got a front row seat to how you're doing in that capacity. And there's got to be a connectivity in your relationship deep enough to be able to say, honey, is there an area I could be doing better? And then swallowing my pride and listening. And saying, okay, well, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to work on that. Because I really do want to be better. And I can't believe you said that. You know these 10 things. And then it's just, boom, World War III. which means we had no intention at all of getting better. We just said it because we heard it in a lesson. But the minute we asked and the minute she dared say something that we might be able to do better, just slightly, we let her have it with the 10 things we know. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Guys, and I believe all of you agree with me, not a one of us have arrived. Amen. I can be a better husband. And I want to be a better husband. That's why I'm here. And I believe that's why you're here. And I thank you for being here. And I love being with brothers in Christ who say, I could be a better husband. I could be a better Christian. I could be a better father. And I want to be. And I'm here. Teach me the Word of God. Amen. And what I want to challenge you is sit down with your wife this week and say, honey, would you teach me? Now, that's a little harder to do than sitting in here. But it's the way it works. Because there's a transparency there that needs to happen. And you need to talk about things and say, where are we not on the same page? What am I doing wrong? And ladies, same thing. When's the last time you've sat your husband down and said, honey, are we doing all right? Am I meeting your needs? Is there anything I'm doing that's bothering you? Is there anything that I could be doing better? I'd like to work on something. I want to be the best wife that I can be. And if it's been a while since those questions have been asked, can you just stop right now with me and ask, why? Is there a fear in your relationship of asking those types of questions? And I submit to you, love has no fear. When there is real love there, we can be deep. We can be open. We can be transparent. Hey, how am I going to get better if I don't first get uncomfortable? I've got to get out of my comfort zone to see, okay, I've got some areas to improve. Here we go. Let's put the work into it. Where there's no pain, there's no gain. I've got to be willing to do that. And communication can do that and can help us in it. So deep communication can accomplish that. Deep conversation, letter B, is meaningful in content. So what is it? It's open and transparent. And then it is meaningful in content. In other words, you want to talk about stuff that actually matters, okay? With some people in life, maybe you don't. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. And the conversation is always superficial. And that's okay. God doesn't command you to get in deep conversation with your coworker or your neighbor. Now, if they're unsaved, I would challenge you, find a common ground so you can witness to them and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But with your spouse, there needs to be meaningful conversation. There needs to be stuff that is deep, that actually is meaningful to you both. And what are some conversation ideas? And I don't know if you have these in your notes, but here they are. Maybe talk about what you read in the Word of God that day. Talk about your concerns in life. Talk about the things you'd like to pray about. Better than that, pray together as husbands and wife, maybe every night before you go to bed. Talk about things you're thankful for. Do you ever get trapped being fully aware of the stuff you don't have and kind of forgetting about all the stuff you do have? I don't know if that's just me and my wife sometimes, but I think we all get there, do we not? And it's good sometimes to pause and step back and say, God, you've been amazing. And let's just spend about 30 minutes and talk about how good God has been. And it might be about the fact that we're Christians. It might be about our health. It might be some of the blessings that God has given, some of the opportunities that we've had, some of the things that we've learned, whatever the case may be. But be willing to share that. Have a meaningful conversation about it. Maybe the hopes for your children, areas where you're attempting to grow, etc. You want to communicate and do something meaningful, and you want to communicate with depth. Dennis and Barbara Rainey said, to do this, you must determine what you want to say, how you want to say it, and when you want to say it. Sometimes all of our communication with our spouse is just off the hip. Now, a lot of it is. I mean, we walked around the room moments ago, and it was kind of off the hip. I knew a few things I want to ask people. I saw Michael and Monica Curtis for the last month. They've been in Texas visiting family. I want to see how that was going. I saw Courtney and Capricia, and I saw Courtney. I said, man, how's the job hunt going? I knew he was looking for a job. And Josh and Ann a few weeks ago, and the kids were sick. And there were some things I knew in my mind going around the room that I was trying to kind of get connected with people about. Some of that was predetermined. A lot of what I just did 15 minutes ago was off the hip. Hey, man, how you doing? Hello, how are you? Glad you're here. And it was just going. In marriage, a lot of conversations can be off the hip, and I get that. But there needs to be some predetermined conversation. There needs to be some deeper, more meaningful conversation in your marriage relationship where you're edifying one another. So it's meaningful. Let her see, deep conversation includes listening. Includes listening. The Bible says in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let's read that together. Ready? begin. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, we know this, right? We were taught this as children, and now we teach it to our children, if that applies. But we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak. Swift to hear, slow to speak. What did Grandma tell us? God gave you two ears and one mouth, right? You want to listen twice as much as you speak, right? And then we get married, and life gets busy. We get a lot of plates we've got to keep turning. We've got a lot of responsibility going on. And if we're not careful, that principle is out the window. And as we're communicating with husband and wife, we just rapid fire let each other have it because we don't have time. And we need to be careful to step back and look at the conversation between our wife and I and make sure, am I listening? One of the greatest attributes of truly communicating is listening. Guys, innately, God has given us a desire to fix things. So our wife brings something to our attention and we want to fix it, which that's the way God made us. But sometimes it's a frustration to our wife because she feels like we didn't even hear what she said. She feels like we just want to fix her so she'll shut up about whatever it was. And I'm almost out of time, so I'm kind of being blunt there. But that's not what we should do. We need to listen. We need to listen intently. We need to understand. I love this statement. We need to seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I just want to encourage us as husbands and wives, let's communicate with listening. There's five levels of listening. Number one, there's fake listening. Guys, we've all been guilty of that, right? Where she pauses that speech that you've kind of heard about every fourth word, and she says, honey, what did I just say? Done. It's over. You are now praying for the rapture. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Or you're looking at one of the kids. What did she just say? You know, and you're caught red-handed. You weren't even listening. Or selective listening. You're kind of tuning in. I mentioned that part. Then she goes, you know, no, no, no. Okay, tuning in. And it's just kind of selective. And you're listening. Defensive listening. Guys, let's go back to the scriptures. Only by pride cometh contention. Now, guys, we have all been guilty of this. Brother Rule has been guilty of this. Honey, what are you talking about? And being defensive. Well, look at the good things God's done. Look at this, look at that, look at this. She's not taking for granted the good things God's done. She's helping me because I'm an idiot and I need it. And I need not be defensive. I need to just be humble and say, honey, thank you for sharing that. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good Christian, a good father. And I've not arrived. I'm not even close. And God has allowed you a vantage point into my life that no other human being shares. And if you see something from that vantage point, you're willing to share with me in an arena of trust and love where we can be transparent, then help me not to be proud. Help my pride not to just mark it off, but help me to receive it and say, honey, thanks for sharing that with me. I'm going to work at it. You're going to see a difference in that area. And by the way, guys, our wife should be able to bring us anything. And within 24 hours, she should see a difference. That should just be the standing protocol for you as a man, as a Christian husband. Honey, we've got an open door policy. You can talk to me about anything. And standing before God, and God is my help, within 24 hours, you'll see a difference. Because that's the kind of man I want to be. And I believe you do. And I want that too. Defensive listening. Then there's the surface listening. We're kind of listening to the stuff that doesn't really matter. But then there's that focused listening. And guys, we've got to tune in and we've got to listen. And I want to challenge all of us today. Communication is such a big part of marriage. They often say, if something begins to go awry in marriage, it usually begins with the lack of communication. This is one of the foundational cornerstones. This is one of the big rocks. And I'm picking on the guys a little bit this morning only because it comes harder for us. Most wives in this room, I'm not being mean, but they could communicate about anything for a long time. It's just their nature. Guys, it's difficult for us to kind of get out of our comfort zone and be real and be transparent and communicate on that level. But we need to do it. And I want all of us this week to focus on communication. Let's not just believe the myth. Well, we just can't communicate, Brother Rule. We've tried. We've done everything you just taught. Sometimes couples will tell me in counseling, I'll talk for 30 minutes. And they'll say, yeah, we did all that. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, then why did you come to my office? You know, if you already know it all, then obviously you need to go to somebody else or whatever. But you know what I found? Is they really haven't done that. And before you just look at these things and say, you know what, Brother Rule? We already do all that. We didn't really need today's lesson. And maybe that is the case, and praise God for it. Maybe it's a reset. But I want to encourage you this week to say, let's communicate better. And maybe one thought, one idea, one principle, one precept shared from the Word of God will help us in our communication. And let's work at it. And then 7 days from today at 10 a.m. right here in this room, let's just commit one to another right now. We're all going to be back next Sunday. We're all going to open God's Word and finish this lesson and ask God to strengthen our relationships and our ability to communicate as husband and wife. Because if we're communicating, if we're close, if we're transparent, if it's meaningful, and if it's deep, it's going to strengthen our relationship and sustain whatever it is we might face in the days ahead. Often couples will face a tough time and they don't react like they should. And it's because there's no bonding there. And there's no bonding there because there's no communication. There's no depth. Like a tree, when it has roots, it can handle a windy day. Your relationship can handle the wind of this world if there's communication to give it some roots. So let's listen. Let's be meaningful. Let's get deep. And let's eliminate pride this week. And let's work at it. And let's ask one another, what could I do better? And let's come back next Sunday determined, teach me more. How can we better communicate in our marriage relationship? Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time around your word together this morning. Thank you for this class. I love being with them. I'm so thankful for their attendance and their desire to grow. Lord, you have blessed his design with some great families, some wonderful husbands and wives who want to know you and want to live like you in every relationship and role that they have. And God, I pray that you'd bless them. May this week their communication be strengthened in their relationships. And then bring us back next Sunday as we conclude this lesson. May it continue to strengthen our relationships for the days ahead. Use our class in an exciting way this fall season to reach the community and bring us back safely tonight at 5 for the new Family Life series, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.